Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Revelation chapter 7. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the text. The psalmist cries out, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." It's from Psalm 116. Today the church honors those who died in the faith. Today is the day that we especially remember the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, this tribulation that we are still in. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, each Sunday, the final petition of our general prayers is a prayer remembering those saints who have gone before us, because Christ rose victorious over death and the grave. And we remember the faithful who trusted in Christ, whose tears are gone and whose sorrows have been turned to joy. But today, on All Saints' Day, we will also begin our prayers remembering the faithful departed. As the psalmist says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Listen carefully to those words. The death of a saint is precious in God's sight. The dead in Christ were saints before they died. Those who went through the great tribulation and died in the faith already had their robes washed clean in the blood of the Lamb long before they drew their last breath. Our robes are washed white in the blood of Christ in baptism. We have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are God's saints already. St. Paul tells us that we were crucified with Christ. Our old self died with him on the cross, buried with him in baptism, as we read there in Romans. And we have been raised to a new life. We never need fear death ever again. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." Because the death that matters has already taken place when our old Adam drowned and died in the water in the Word. Now, during our prayers today, as we do each All Saints Day, we will list those members of our congregation who during the past 12 months were called out of this life and into the next. This year we had 13 who have finished the journey, reached the goal set before them, given the crown of life. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In his mercy and through his wisdom, the Lord has taken death, the ultimate angry, awful enemy of mankind. He has taken this curse and punishment that we earn through our sin and through us just being a child of Adam, and he has turned it into the vehicle by which he brings us into the complete fellowship, the perfect relationship that he intended for us all along. Death is still an angry judge. Death is not a natural part of life. Death is not our friend, no matter what the circumstances are leading up to that death. Death is violent. It is the wage that our sin has earned. But as Paul says in his letter to the Romans, God works all things for the good. On this All Saints Day, and on the eve of All Saints, it's not a time to celebrate death. This is a day to celebrate life in Christ. The world around us has chosen to corrupt this holy festival and, decorate homes with images of death and darkness and zombies rising up out of the ground and things like that. I spent much of Monday researching the history of All Saints Day, in the past also called All Souls Day or All Hallows, you know, All Holy Ones Day, and the eve of this festival, commonly called Halloween, All Hallows Eve. It is really hard to find good information on this out on the internet. Because, like with Christmas and Easter, among those who are, shall we say, not big fans of Christ and His church and want to kind of pollute the waters with false information, there are numerous theories out there, unsubstantiated, but numerous theories about how the Christian church, you know, simply took pagan rituals and made them our own, and we just, you know, adopted paganism and kind of sanctified it. I won't bore you with the details, but that's not how things went. Well, in my research, I distilled it down. There's really three things that were abundantly clear. First, it's good to celebrate the life and the new life of the saints, both those in heaven and those still here in the church on earth. That should be our primary thought today, and also yesterday, too. It's good to celebrate life as a saint. After all, Christ has made this possible, and this is a celebration of life and the resurrection. What could be better? The second thing in sifting through all of the material, it becomes really clear very quickly that our society is not the first society in history to be fascinated by or intrigued by the thoughts of evil spirits manifesting themselves and bringing horror and death here to people on earth. It's a common, gruesome image that people have had, you know, in many different centuries, in many different societies, and even throughout the history of the Christian world, you know, let's just say the fringe of God's people have always been fascinated by the pagans on the other side of that line. I mean, you can go all the way back to Old Testament times. I mean, look at Israel, how they embraced, Baal and other false gods, and the horrific practices that those pagan cultures had. And, you know, they would go to the temple, you know, and offer proper sacrifices, but on the side they were, you know, dealing with things that were clearly out of bounds in regard to the people of God. Well, the medieval Christians, they embraced superstitions just as, you know, wholeheartedly. They had all sorts of views, false views about spirits and how they acted in the world. I mean, not that we don't live in a spiritually charged world. We do. And Satan and his legion are a real thing to deal with. But the false superstitions that persisted in the Middle Ages and the false ideas about Christ, you know, and they weave their way into the celebration of the eve of All Saints Day. However, this generation in America, and this is a rather recent phenomena, the way it gets celebrated today. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't remember anyone decorating their yard for Halloween. I honestly cannot ever remember that. I don't even remember even some lights or anything like that. Maybe a picture of a pumpkin or a pumpkin sitting out on the porch was about as far as anyone went. But our society has embraced horror as a genre, just wholeheartedly, fascination with zombies and the occult and death. I mean, look at the television shows. I mean, how many zombie shows do we need, really, or movies? Well, Halloween, as it is currently celebrated by many, it's just a visible embrace of the most blatant parts of paganism. It should not surprise us, though, that a culture which does not hold life to be precious would be fascinated by and intrigued by, you know, the notion of gruesome death. And, again, it just should not be surprising to us. This is the world in which we live. Well, the third thing I came to realize is that, it's okay that your kids, dressed up and went and begged for candy from the neighbors yesterday. Even though I'm sure some of the parents regretted last night putting the kids to bed as they're on their sugar high. Or maybe the parents were on a sugar high, I don't know. I saw on Facebook some complaints that there weren't enough Reese cups in some of their kids' bags. And, I'm sure that, if you polled, 4 out of 5 dentists probably do not approve of Halloween activities. Yet this is the sort of thing where we can exercise our Christian freedom. Besides the history of going door to door on the eve of All Saints Day, it has actually some pious and holy practices in the past, and some very unholy ones also. As almost, whenever you get large numbers of people doing things, you're always going to have those who do things in an unholy way. But, even trick-or-treating, that's a rather new thing. It wasn't widely practiced in America really until the 1950s. Confirmation class this week, I said, go home, go ask your grandparents if they trick-or-treated when they were kids. I guarantee you they said no. Unless they lived way out west. There were a few places out in western United States before World War II where a few communities did that. But for the most part, they didn't. Until Walt Disney produced a cartoon in 1952 called Trick or Treat, and it showed kids going door to door getting candy. And all the kids saw this and said, hey, Mom and Dad, let's go do this. And I remember watching that cartoon as a kid. I mean, by the time I was that age, trick or treating was the common practice. But the way it's grown up, I mean, there is a history to it. And doing that is okay. Now, there are some things that go on in and around Halloween that aren't. But, the reality is that throughout the generations, there have always been people who have misused practices that otherwise would be good. Just like not everyone celebrates Christmas and Easter for the real reason for the season. And just like Christmas and Easter, All Saints Day, it's a celebration of life and the resurrection. It's a celebration of Jesus and what he has done. We are saints who will live forever. As the elect in Christ, the baptized faithful, you've already received eternal life. As our Lord says, he who believes in me will never die. The only death that we have to be concerned with is the one that has already taken place in our baptism, when our old self was crucified with Christ. We died to sin. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, as St. Paul says. St. Paul in Romans is just so wonderful on this on this whole subject. We have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, as we hear in our reading from Revelation. We have been clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God himself. That is greater than any gift that we could ever receive. Through our baptism, we are washed clean of all iniquity, all guilt. We are invited into the family of God. Christ is with us. It's one of the things we celebrate today also. He is with us even as those who have come out of the great tribulation are with Christ. The connection that we have with them, with those saints, it's Christ. Just as they are there in the presence of Christ himself, we who gather with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven around the body and blood of our risen Lord are in the presence of Christ himself here as we come before the Lord's table. If we want to have connection with the saints, this is where we have connection with them. And finally, when our last hour comes, we look forward with confidence, knowing that when these eyes close for the last time, they will be open to see the Savior's face. Because as the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.